Matthew chapter 16. Do you think Satan is happy about what Jesus has done for you? So what do you think he would do? Yeah, he would attempt to spoil everything. His aim is to, this thing, it can't work. As long as the people are here, let's keep on fighting. We may get some back. Do you get it? So, in, is this a mic that I was using? This is the one I, okay. So, he definitely would want to stop it. But in Matthew 16:25, Jesus said something. I want us to have a look at it. Now, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not 25. I think it's a bit earlier. If you start from 19, you will find it. Good. Keep going. I'll build my church. What verse is it? Please just look. 18. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. What it means is that the powers of hell would attempt to conquer the building of the church. Now, when Jesus spoke about building the church, he's not talking about a physical building. But it's talking about a body, a group of people that make up the church. You get it? And we are the building blocks. We are the building blocks of the church. It's not the physical building. No. Let's get it and get it clear. We are the building blocks. So when Satan is... Jesus said, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. It means Satan is going to attack the body of the people that God is building. It means he's going to attack us. We are the individual blocks. You see, when we want to break down this building, you get it? The building is made up of individual blocks. So to break down this building is to break the individual blocks from joining to each other. I don't know if you understand it. Do you understand it? What am I saying? I think you guys are tired, eh? I just get a feeling that's a message I'm getting across. That you are tired a bit. Maybe you are not used to waking up. But you woke up at what time? What time did you sleep? No, what time did you sleep? And he woke up at what time? What's your name? I can't see. Yeah. Tutu. Tuto. Is it? Tuto. Yeah, Tuto. Tuto, what time did you sleep?
I slept around 11 o'clock.
And what time did you wake up?
4:30.
What is your usual time of sleeping? Not averagely. What time do you normally go to bed?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. And wake up at what time normally?
Around 6:30 to 7.
Come again?
Around 6:30 to 7.
So do you think this one is not enough? No, you are awake. you are awake, but some of you are sleeping. She is awake, but I'm just asking you. You think it's okay? It's a normal range of sleep for you?
Yes, yes, sir. It's okay.
But quite a number of the people are struggling, so I want to find out. Maybe their tank is bigger.
Maybe so they're still hungry.
They're hungry?
Maybe.
Now, so is it that you didn't sleep enough, or is it that you are just... Anyway, it's tiring for what you are doing. You normally don't do that, isn't it? You normally don't do that, so I can... You see, I'm used to it, so I don't see anything wrong with it. But you are not used to it, so I can feel the tiredness. Because like you are not used to this long sitting down, 3 hours, 2.5 hours at a go, and it's like back to back. You get it? But that's what camps are meant to be. You get it? Camps are meant to stretch you a little bit. It's like a training camp. The military training camp, they train you to toughen you up. Because if you are not tough, you can't withstand the battles on the field. So one of the things is your ability to take control of your body and let it do what it usually doesn't do. And it's essential. It's essential. So anyway, we are still going on. So I'll break shortly. I don't know what your supper is at 6:30. Is it 6:30? There's an afternoon lunch at one what time? Four-ish. Okay. So what we will do is that, we will take that small break, and then we come back for about 2.5 hour session. Then that will be that for the evening. That will be that for the evening for me. But you can pray, and you should pray.
Yes, sir.
And when you are praying, please put your phone away. But I met some people. They said their mother was calling them, and I'm asking which Motorola their mother used to call them, since their phones were off. Isn't it? I say, if their phone was, how did their mother get through? Maybe they use Limpopo Airways. You know, there's always been Wi-Fi, Bluetooth before we invented it. Before we discovered it, it has always been there. Moses went to download messages from the cloud. Moses went to the tablet of stones and downloaded messages from the cloud. Yeah. It's only several thousands of years that we are now making one. Moses was using tablet long ago. Hallelujah. Now, you see, what I'm trying to point out is that why would Jesus say, I will build my church, which is not a physical building, but a body of people. And he says, the powers of hell will not conquer it. Meaning that the process of building the body of people is going to come under attack from the powers of hell. Amen. And a lot of Christians have come under that attack and has affected them badly. So what I'm going to, this session that I'm going to teach you, having explained to you the beauty of the new life and the things you have to do, I want to also bring your attention that you are going to come under attack. Do you get it? And therefore, take note of how the attacks will come and how you would have to fight to prevent it. You see, first of all, in Psalm 133, The Bible says that where brethren dwell together in unity. You see, how pleasant, give me the King James. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon that descended from the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Amen. So, listen. The Bible is describing the place where God's blessing comes. That place. Are you with me? And you see, this is a psalm of David. And it's a psalm where he has observed that wherever there's unity, that place receives the blessing of God. You see, wherever there's unity, when God pours his blessing upon the head, it is able to flow to the whole body. Where there's disunity, the blessing is restricted. It is not free to flow. Do you get it? And God always has in mind more than one person. That is why, though he called Abraham, he said, in blessing I will bless you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said, and thou shalt, he said to Abraham, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. Are you getting it? And the Bible is showing us that the place of unity is a place that has a 99.9% chance of receiving God's blessing. Because the unity allows God's intention to be achieved when he pours his blessing. Because his blessing is always, he will bless one person. But because one person is connected to so many people, they get blessed. They get it. It is also the reason why Jesus Christ prayed for the disciples to be one. Because when they are one, the blessings of God would always abound. Are you with me? Now, this is the one, number one thing that Satan always fights. Because to build something is to join them together. So as long as you can fight to prevent the things from joining, it won't become what you want it to be. You see, building a wall is different from building a house. But a house is made up of many walls that are joined together. A house is made up of many walls that are joined together. But building a house is different from building a wall. So Satan's aim is constantly to make sure that there is a reason why you cannot be joined to the rest of the body. And if possible, through you, spoil the joints in the other body. That is what a lot of people don't know. And that is why I want to introduce you to the subject of loyalty. As a protective information and as a protective knowledge for you, so that you don't play into the hands of Satan. Are you with me? So that you don't play into the hands of Satan. You see, no matter mistake I make, if we are together and God's blessings come, the blessings overcomes the mistake. The blessings of God would always overcome the effect of any mistake you can ever make. Are you with me? Now, if you understand this, you will not seek in pursuing of somebody's mistake, proving your point and all those things. You will not chase that agenda to the disunity of the body. Because the blessing, the mistake that you are so concerned about, if as long as you are together, God's blessing will be present. So the mistake can't destroy anything. I don't know if you get it. And it's very crucial. It's very crucial. Most Christians don't understand this. That I need you, you need me. Without you, I am not complete. And without me, you are not complete. Are you with me? And you can do more when we are together than on your own. You can do more when you are together than when you are alone. Yeah. You see, there is a bed. There's a group of birds. I don't know their name. I don't know their name. But they fly in a V-shaped formation. And they are able to go a very long distance. And what happens is that there's only one bird that is in the peak of the V, the apex of the V, that is flapping its wings. The rest are just transmitting the current that is generated to the whole pack. So what they do is that the one in front, when it's tired, then it changes to go to the back and the next person takes over. So instead of my flap carrying only me, because we are together, my flap will carry all of us. Then when I'm tired, your flap will carry all of us. Then when you are tired, the next person's flap. So the more we are, the further we go. Somebody should Google it for me. It's something. It's a I don't know the name of the bird, but they fly. Who knows it? No, I don't think it's swines. No. It's a type of a bird. They fly in formation. And it's the front one. That does the work. The rest just transmit whatever the front one does. Satan doesn't like it. Have you found it? You know. Okay, we'll check it and confirm it. Does it explain how they do it?
Is the symmetric V-shaped flight formation of flights of geese, swans, ducks, and other migratory birds.
Good. Now, so read more detail. You can Google the mechanism. Or the energy source for the V-shape formation.
The energy source
for the V-shape formation of migratory birds. No, you see, God, he's wild, though. And I'm using nature to teach you about God and how to see Satan at work. You have it? Yeah, read it.
Where is it? Scientists have determined that the V-shaped formation that geese use when migrating serves two important purposes. The first, it conserves their energy. Each bird flies slightly above the bird in front of him, resulting in a reduction of wind resistance. The birds take turns being in the front, falling back when they get tired. In this way, the geese can fly for a long time before they must stop for rest. Then it says the author's nature, something, something. And then the second benefit to the V formation is that it is easy to keep track of every bird in the group. Flying in formation may assist with communication and coordination within the group. Fighter pilots often use this formation for the same reason.
Yeah, the first reason is energy conservation. Birds have realized that we are better off together than each of us alone, even though we all have wings. Even though we all know how to fly, we are better off flying together. We can go far from a particular place, which is tough for our existence. Because the distances you have to travel, if you alone, you may not arrive. And God has ordained that we must be together and not as individuals. But this is what Satan would fight. And he fights it through disloyalty. And some of us, we don't understand what we are doing. We don't understand what we are doing. And so we end up spoiling the church without intending to spoil it. We end up fighting against Jesus himself, who has given us a new life, instead of living for his purpose. Yeah. In the name of, I'm offended. In the name of, I was not treated fairly. Yeah. So normally when people get offended, do you get it? When people get offended, then that is when the process starts. And normally, people who get offended often have a tendency to do things their own way. Jenny, your eyes is not agreeing with you. Your eyes is not in unity with your mind, ne? Who is the disloyal person? Is it the eyes or the... You get it? Yeah. So listen. Normally, it triggers with an offense. That's why forgiveness is key. And refuse to be offended. Understanding the purpose of our being together. Because when you get offended, you end up saying, I don't do anything in the church. Or just withdrawing. Once you withdraw, Satan begins to give you ideas and begins to help you to see things that are not right. You get it? The reason why you see things is because you are doing nothing. So once you withdraw and you stop doing anything, you just find yourself seeing wrong things. Who should have done this, 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 this. So before you realize, it has turned you into a complainer. Memory. Saying everything you have a fault to find with it. Unknown to you, before you realize, you have become an accuser. All of it are books here that you need to take time to read. You get it? Before you realize, you have become an accuser. And these things, they are all there. Because you are complaining and then you say you are accusing, this person doesn't like, this person has done this, what do you think of this person? And all those things. So, you see, there are different things. Satan is wild, though. He will come to you through different doors. But one of the key things is complaining and murmuring. Why should we do this? Why should we go there? Why should are we all called to serve God? Why? Small church we came to. You see, that is why I'm taking time to explain to you from the Bible that we are all called. Because the reason why we are all called is because what the new life that we have in Jesus is not for our use. We are called to use that new life on behalf of Jesus. So if you really are born again and you say you are born again and you understand what it means to be born again, there's no reason why you should not want to live for Jesus, or when somebody is helping you to live for Jesus, you say you are being forced. And complaining, we don't have money, we can't rest, every day we are praying. Now prayer too, is it not personal? It's personal, but it's not personal. Because when you don't pray, you become weak. And because we are linked to you, our strength is as strong as the weakest person amongst us. Listen to what I'm saying. When we are linked together, our strength is as strong as the weakest link amongst us. Let me say it in English. You see, I need about 10 people on the stage. Yeah, join, go. Yeah. Okay. I want you to hold your hands together. Go on the stage. Okay. Now, come forward. Come. Okay, just leave a small space so that one person can stand there. Okay. Now, I want push the book back a bit for me. Let it go to the, put it on top of the light. Good. Okay. Come. Find a space between these people to go through. Come here. Don't go through their back. They are joined together. You can't pass through their body unless you can. Maybe you are from Limpopo. But obviously, where can you break through? Where they are joined, isn't it? So try. Okay, you decide where you want to go. No, force and breakthrough. Listen, why didn't he try everybody, but he went straight? Because he assessed that the weakest point of the chain is this place. So, you see, the protection of this wall is as strong as the strength of this link. understand what I'm saying? The strength of this link to protect this book is as strong as the weakest of the links. So as he got up, I wanted him to try, but he's like, I don't need to try. I know where to go. But you see, if I remove him, come. And even now, come. And come back. Do you get it? Even then, he will look at the possible weak places. So go and take your book. No, resist him. Resist him. You see? So let me remove these two. And give me men. Men. Another man. Come.
MC,
come for the name. Yeah. No, it's okay. Wait. Now, you realize that? Okay, go for your book. You see, somehow, did you notice that when he came here, he appeared to have hope? Yeah. That it's like, as for here, I'm going to go to it. So, you see, thank you very much. The strength, you see, the reason why we have to make sure you pray, in case you are complaining that, why should they make us pray? Why, what small church we can? The reason is because you are linked to us. And we cannot afford a weak link in us. Are you with me? We cannot afford a weak link. So you see, what happens is that people complain, but it's Satan, through the spirit of memory and accusation. Yes. But you see, you are not aware. Most of these things, Satan, he makes you do things without making you aware that this is what he's making you do. But you saw that as we changed the links and everybody became stronger, it's almost like it's impossible to break through. Are you with me? I'm trying to explain to you many of the things we do which generates your complaining. It's because you don't understand the effect of you. You see, it has not occurred to you how significant a component you are to the whole building. Yeah. So we cannot afford to have weaklings amongst us. We cannot afford to have people amongst us on whom the blessing of the Lord is not upon. Because you just need one person to come under severe satanic attack and it will discourage the whole church. So when you are complaining, you are doing this, it's more that you don't understand what is going on. And I would encourage you to take time to go through these books one by one Most of you don't have, I don't know why we don't have the books. Most of you don't have the Macarius. And I feel that these are important books. Because the Macarius is cheaper. When you buy the Macarius, a book works out to be 20 rand. Basically, when you buy the Macarius, a book works out to be 20 rand. So even all these big books, I mean, this book alone, we sell it even cheap. How much? 100 rand. That's this book alone. Do you get it? But that this book is here. It's in this pack. It's part of the pack. Yeah, it's part of the pack. It's not labeled. Is this one? Yeah. So one alone is supposed to be 100 rand. Do you get it? But I know most of you don't have or may not have enough. I don't know what can be done to assist you to get it. Okay, but you must have it and read. You must have it and read. And you see, as a people that are living for Christ, certain habits must be present to you. One of them is a reading habit. It's a reading habit. It's a reading habit. My people perish for lack of knowledge. It's a reading habit. You must read because there's whatever. You see, when the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, it means that every problem that you are going to experience has been experienced before. That's what it means. So what you are experiencing is not new. Somebody has experienced it. If you read a lot, you will meet it somewhere. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will go and read what you are experiencing and say, ah, this thing, oh, I'll stop crying. But when you don't know that what you are experiencing, somebody experiences and still survived, you'll be thinking that this is my end. And the thing has not killed you, but you are dead already. Because every lie of Satan comes with a deceptive message. Because this has happened to you, this is your end. There's nothing good else. So just kill yourself. Or just give up and start drinking and doing all the foolish things. Meanwhile, whatever has happened is actually not your end. It's actually going to be the step ladder upon which you go higher. But if you don't read, so you must develop a reading habit. And you must have, you see, what it is that, listen, let's face it. It's always difficult to do something alone. But you learn how to do it by doing it in a group. That's one of the ways by which you learn. You do it in a group. And when you can do something in a group, it doesn't take long. You can now begin to do it on your own. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you must have groups of people where it's like reading club. There's always a book you are reading to share with me. And there must always be a Christian book I'm reading to share with you. There must always be a Bible chapter or chapters you have read and sharing with me what you understood. And then I must also have a Bible chapter or chapters I've read and sharing with you what I understood. You see, most of us today, I was asking somebody, not today, but one of the days, I was asking somebody that as two people intending to marry, when you meet, what do you talk about? Apart from yourselves, what do you talk about? But what I picked up is that there's nothing spiritual in the relationship. And more, these are born again people. So I'm thinking, where are you? It's almost like, how helpful is this relationship to you if you don't discuss spiritual things that will enhance your spiritual growth? It's almost like you have gone to bring into your life a door for Satan to enter. Because if you are alone in the house, you always make sure you check all the doors and they are locked. But if you are two in the house, you think this person has locked the door because he was the last to come in. So you don't bother to check, only to discover that she didn't lock the door. That's what happens when you marry, you introduce another entry door for Satan into your life. Yes. Those of you who are, how many of you want to marry? Yeah, even though I'm saying that, it's not stopping you. Yeah. Yeah, when you marry, you introduce another door of Satan into your life. Or another door for Satan into your life. Yes. When you have children, you increase the number of doors. Come again. Oh, yeah. You don't agree with what I'm saying. You see, if you didn't marry, you would always feel lonely. And that's the main thing that will happen in your life. You always feel lonely. And it's like it's a known thing. But you see, when you marry, the weaknesses of the person you have married is going to affect you. Yeah. If you marry somebody who is a liar, you can imagine the. If you marry somebody who doesn't know how to manage money and always collecting people's money, if you marry somebody whose house is cursed, when he comes into your house, unless the blessing that is following you is bigger than his curse will affect you. Pastor, what are you saying? What am I saying? When Jonah was running away from going to Nineveh to preach the gospel, Jonah was the problem. But Jonah alone didn't experience the problem. Or it doesn't occur to you like that. Please look for the verse for us. I think chapter 2 or chapter 3. Chapter 2. Or chapter 1. Maybe he refused to go and took a journey to go the very opposite of where he was supposed to go. It is the presence of Jonah. God was looking for Jonah. But it was not only Jonah that came under attack. Everybody else. Please go to the beginning verses so that we can get a story. Go, keep running. We are reading it. And he wouldn't go. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite side to get away from the Lord. It's Jonah, it's not the people. The mistake of the people is that they introduced Jonah into their boat. Because they thought, this is a client, we can get some money. He found a ship and he bought a ticket. You see, he paid and went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. You see, the Lord didn't send a cruise missile for Jonah alone or send an angel to go and take him from there. But the Lord sent the wind, not against Jonah, but against the whole ship. Yeah. And what happened? Let's read on. You see, all of a sudden, because of Jonah, everybody started praying. And they lost their cargo. Because, and they threw their cargo overboard to lighten the ship. You see, all of a sudden, one person, one small money, that if they have refused to take Jonah, they'll be cool. But small money that he will pay for a ticket. Now look, your cargo, you are throwing it. And look at the foolish guy, he's sleeping. Hey, how can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will spare our lives. And they ask him, who are you? Let's go on. All of a sudden, the journey has changed. And they identify Jonah as the culprit. And they say, hey, why? What's happening? What have you done? Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the land. And for he had already told them he was right now. So why did you do it? Why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop the storm? Throw me into the sea. Do you get it? Yeah. So you can imagine if you are a lone sailor and you marry Jonah and you decide to travel together, the storms that is against Jonah will come not only for Jonah, but for the whole ship. And instead of throwing Jonah into the sea, you say, but he's my husband. He's the father of the children. He's the mother of the children. So you sink together. It's a message. Are you with me? So the point I'm trying to say, which I'm re-emphasizing, is that we are linked together. Are you with me? And therefore, we cannot afford anybody to do something contrary. Secondly, you see, when there's no blessing in our togetherness, Satan becomes stronger. Or Satan's strength is able to go far. So by causing disunity through your complaining, your murmuring, whatever we say we are doing, you always have something to say. You always have an argument against it. You always have an opposing idea. It's like we can't do something together. We are all going for outreach. You say, why should we go for outreach? We are all developing people to dance as a means of reaching out to young people. Why are we concentrating on young people? Are young people the only people in the world? Didn't Jesus die for the whole world? Yes, Jesus died for the whole world, but not the whole world will listen. Or put it this way, we don't have anointing for everybody. So let's go, let's use our little anointing for those who is enough for. Yeah. Instead of complaining, why this is every time. Don't worry, we are young today. 10 years time, 20 years time, we all grow. And then as we are growing, the grown-up people will also come and join. But at least by that time, the pastor would have believed that he's called. Because do you know that if you start at the wrong place of an exams, if there are many questions and you start with the wrong question, you can easily think that you didn't learn. Because not all the questions you can answer equally. So your wisdom of exam is to start with the question that you are likely to get most marks from because you know a lot. And it will always encourage you. If you start with the wrong question, which you don't know, it will discourage you. And you'll spend a long time on it. So that by the time you come to the question you know, you can't even write what you know to get the marks to make up for what you didn't know. So that's how ministry is. You see, if you are faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. So God gives you a small anointing and sees how you are going to use it for. So as you are busy complaining, why are we having children, whatever it is, you see, you are actually now trying to direct us to go to the wrong place where our anointing is not big enough. Where we'll be discouraged. Because the people that are old have been experienced and all those things. Most of them, sometimes their problem is too big. Because some of them have done things that demons have made headquarters in their lives. And your anointing is small. The disciples' anointing has not always been big. There were times where they couldn't do it. In Mark chapter 9, there was a man whose son was demon-possessed and lunatic, having epileptic fit. And he brought them to the disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. It took Jesus himself to come and cast that demons out. When they asked Jesus said, "This kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. And you have not been fasting. You have been eating a lot. That's why the other people were complaining that, you guys, why do the disciples of John fast and you are not fasting?" And I told them that, how can you fast when you have the bridegroom with you? But a time will come when you fast. So you have not been fasting. So you have not gained the power that will cast these demons out. Do you get it? Yeah. And why do you think that? What do you think is the effect of their inability to cast the demons out? Do you think it made them happy? I said, do you think it made them happy? No. Nobody rejoices at a failure. They were not happy. And especially the way the man was saying it. Meanwhile, it was actually the man's unbelief that was making things difficult. The man himself didn't believe. Yes. When he met Jesus, he said, "I brought my son to your disciples, and look, they couldn't do anything. It looks like you have not trained them well. If you can do anything, please help me." And Jesus said, "If you can believe, it is possible to him that believeth." And he started crying, "Hey, you discovered me. Help my unbelief." Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed of an evil spirit. Let him talk. Then, and I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it, Jesus. The disciples, they are not mature. They are not okay. Can you imagine? You are a disciple that has been. You see, these same disciples, they had gone out two by two and had cast out demons in Matthew chapter 10. And they were happy, moving, coming. Jesus said, "Don't be happy about casting out demons, but be happy that your names are written in the book of life." Now, when they met this demon, it's like it didn't work. And the man was rubbing it in. Eish. And I brought him to, and you couldn't. He said, "You faithful, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw him, he threw him and he fell down to a writing and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked, "How long since he was a little boy? Have mercy on us and help us if you can help us." The problem is that the father didn't believe. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The infant instantly cried out, "I do believe. Help me overcome my own belief." But can you imagine the depression? So after He cast him out. Then listen to what the disciples said. Keep going. 27:8. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with the disciples, they've been thinking, Charlie, why did we fail? So when the church was over and they came home, said Jesus, you know, today was not a happy day at all. You cast the demons out, but I don't know why we failed. They asked, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? This kind can be cast out only by prayer, of course, and fasting, the King James says. By prayer and fasting. Yeah. 30. And they left the matter. I said, okay. We know we haven't been fasting. So if this one is a top grade. It's a top grade. Because even though the father didn't believe, Jesus still could cast out the demons. So in as much as it depended on the father's belief, it also depended on how much power you have. So sometimes, you see, God leads us to start where we will be encouraged. So when you are busy complaining, why the church is made up of a youth group, you are actually trying to direct the pastor away from the place of his beginning. Because somebody did that to me. When I started a church 22 years ago, somebody did that to me. He said, he is concentrating on workers because I'm just concentrating on students. And that statement really discouraged me for a long time. Until one day the Lord said to me, if you are faithful with the students, I'll give you every type of people. Today I have every type of people. I've left them. I've gone back to the students. Yeah, I have every type of people, old people, young, everybody in the church. And I say, they should be there. I'm going back to my roots. Are you with me? Yeah. So listen, these loyalty series, they are very important. Particularly this accusation. Accusation is an evil spirit too, and it's one of the strongest satanic weapons. When you accuse. And you see, the greatest mistake I will make is to think that, oh, you are young, so the church is young. So, no. In fact, the place where disloyalty works most is in a young church. It does more damage. It never allows the church to grow. May you never be a disloyal person in this place. And never, may you never be a disloyal person. Have a pure heart. Have a clean heart. Pray to the Lord always. Cleanse my heart from evil thoughts, from evil ideas. Deliver me from memory, from complaining. Lord, even as you have given us your servant, we lift him up before you. By your spirit alone, direct him and lead him. And whatever he does, Lord, we stand by him in unity. Because unity we need for your blessing to come. And let me tell you something. Anything that somebody does in the kingdom of God, if there's unity with the people, it will always work. But through disloyalty, and Satan starts it early. Why are we getting two offerings? How many offerings do you take on Sunday morning? One. In our church, we take two offerings. Before and after. Before preaching and after preaching. Why? Because you give more. Yeah. And it will be good if you start taking second offering for projects, for building fund. Because most people don't give their fullest. Oh, yes. I mean, if you give an offering and then there's a sister sitting by you, that you are interested in. When the offering basket is passing. JT. would you allow it to pass? Yeah, because you have to impress her. But even apart from that, somehow, you know, there's a communication in our spirits, especially if we are spiritual. When the offering basket is passing the second time, we are not comfortable not to give if we have money. You would think that when the offering basket passes around, people will give their maximum. Most people don't give their maximum. They give what they think is enough. And if you pass it around again, you get some more. Yeah. And as a church hoping to build, this is an opportunity to start. Yeah. It's building to help the building. Because listen, we don't give the way we ought to give. And don't tell me that, why, the church, is it about money? It's not about money, but we don't pay for the electricity bill with verses. You don't send a verse a day to pay for how much electricity you use. We use money to pay. And when you are going to buy them building materials, they don't give it to you because you are a pastor and you are building the house of God. You pay like everybody else. Yeah. And most people don't do things for free. We pay for it. So we need money. And the money that you give is not enough. It's not enough at all, because most of you don't even pay your tithe. You don't pay your tithe. You don't pay your 10%. And whatever you pay, we are not even sure if it's 10% or it's 6%. Yeah. You agree with me that most of you don't pay your tithe, isn't it? Yeah. Don't let me start. So because you don't pay your tithe, we are always limited in how much funds we have. Well, this camp would have been better if you are away from your normal environment. Just being away from your normal environment even brings you a certain level of excitement. Yeah, it brings you a certain level of excitement. Just a change of environment. And then also, it helps you to really focus. Because it's like, I've traveled far, I must get something before I go. But it's because we don't have enough money, we have to do the camp as if we are in church. It's a beginning, but a time will come when we have to actually truly go away. So that we can be there and forget about the world behind us. Amen.
Amen.
Great. So disloyalty is the weapon of Satan to spoil the church that God is building. And loyalty would help us. Amen.
Amen.
So there are many books here on it that are, when we come back from break, I'll take one of them. I'll do Those Who Forget, just to help you. So that Satan doesn't take you from us or use you to destroy us. But we'll be together so that we enjoy the fruit of our labor. Your effort may be small, but it's important. It adds to it. It allows us to go one extra meter. Yeah. Your prayer may not be very superb, but at least when you are part of the team that are praying, we become a lot. When we add you, we move from 9 people to 10 people. Are you getting it? Yeah. So we really need to understand this. Because Satan will come after you. As I've taught you about living for Jesus, it is those who decide to live for Jesus that Satan comes after. It is those who decide to live for Jesus that Satan, because it is, you see, those who decide to live for Jesus become an immediate threat to Satan. So he goes to attack them. And he attacks them using things. He said, no, they are not treating you fairly. You should have been the choir leader. You should have been the one in charge of this. Why is this person doing everything? You should have done this. You should have, no. Why didn't they give me to sing this song? He said, before you are, Satan is always making those things And then if you don't know, you fall for Satan, you start fighting. You say, the pastor doesn't like me because maybe I don't come from a certain place or because I don't do certain things. See, that's why he doesn't like me. But anyway, we have nothing to say. You have nothing to say. You've said everything. What else is there to say? 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 You have nothing to say. You don't want to talk. You have spoken already. Hallelujah. Great. Let's rise up for a short break, an hour break. Let's pray. I don't know. We'll come back at what time? 5. Because it's 4. So we'll come back at 5. And then what I will do is that, can we shift the dinner a little bit so that I can have... Okay. Maybe I may even not need to shift it. Just some 30 minutes. I may do it from 5 sharp. And then I'll go as far as I can go. Then I'll leave you to have your supper. And then you pray concerning all that you have heard. Amen. Good. God bless you.